Thank you very much for the introduction, and thanks for coming all this morning. I'm Deborah Aller. I just finished my PhD at Iowa State University, and I'm going to be talking about one study I did as part of my PhD research. And you'll see the title slightly changed from what I had in the program book that I submitted several months ago, but I'll be talking about the exact same things, and I'll still be using AppSim. The clicker, yes. So the motivation behind this work is that in the Midwest we have continuous corn cropping systems and corn-soy systems, so very conventional systems. And as we've had this increase in energy demand with the bioenergy industry, we're not just using the grain for ethanol, but we're harvesting the residue for ethanol production. And we've decreased our cropping system diversity as we've increased our reliance on finding sources for renewable energies. And specifically, Midwestern farms have been highlighted as the largest source of crop residue. And it's specifically corn stover residue that was pointed out back in 2005 by Burlock in the Billion Ton Report. So with the continuous residue removal supported by bioenergy industry, there's issues with sustainability and the potential degradation of soil quality as we continuously harvest residue from these fields. So there's this idea that we need to implement more sustainable practices to compensate for these negative effects of residue removal. One such way we can do that is through the use of biochar amendments here, which have been shown to, or which are one potential tool to offset the negative effects. So some of you probably know, but for those who don't know what biochar is, it's a solid, highly porous co-product that we get out of the thermochemical conversion of biomass to bioenergy in the absence of oxygen. So it comes through a process known as pyrolysis. We get something that looks like very much like charcoal. So here's the raw biomass, here's the biochar, and it's produced along with the syngas and the oils. But biochar is specifically meant to be used as a soil amendment, and it's been shown to improve overall soil quality, water retention, nutrient retention, improve crop yields, and also sequester atmospheric carbon. So we started a study back in 2006 before I arrived that was, it's what we call the long-term rotation plots here in central Iowa, and this is what the plots look like. And these plots were meant to see how, alongside the conventional cropping systems, can we also use more non-conventional systems and implement things like small grains and perennial grasses into the landscape to increase the sustainability of bioenergy production. So this is just an aerial view of these field plots that I was working on, and the two conventional systems are the continuous corn and corn soybean, and then three non-conventional ones include triticale as a small grain and switchgrass as a perennial grass. And they were laid out in complete randomized block design with split plots and four reps per treatment. And within this, we had crop residue harvested annually from all the corn plots, triticale, and switchgrass plots. And this was a no-till system, except when we applied biochar in four different years on different subplots. And this data set and this study is perfect for modeling because we have 11 years of continuous grain, stover, and biomass data, as well as a lot of soil quality data and site management information. And for anyone who's interested in impacts on soil quality, there was a publication earlier this year in Soil Science Society of America Journal, or maybe it's still in press right now, but it's coming out this year. So for the study, we used the AppSim Cropping Systems Model, or the Agriculture Production System Simulator. And this is a farming systems model where you can see there's a central engine and various component modules, so it allows us to get a systems-level understanding of various inputs. And recently, back in 2016, a biochar a model was developed within APSIM. So this is the first agricultural model that allows us to get a systems level understanding, long-term understanding of biochar impacts on agronomic performance. But with any new model, we need to test it and calibrate it further. So this is just an overview of what the biochar module looks like specifically within APSIM. Mainly you have a carbon pool, a nitrogen pool, you have crop phenology, and then you have a soil water component, so the main drivers. And then there's all these input parameters that drive these different components within the biochar module. So the specific objectives of this study were to use the data from those long-term rotation plots that I mentioned and test and calibrate the APSIM model specifically for corn yields as well as soil organic carbon levels. And then we wanted to use this calibrated model to run a long-term, over 32 years, multifactorial scenario simulations to look at corn productivity and environmental performance. And then finally, we were looking at the economic side of things. So we were employing a cost-benefit analysis and looking specifically at the public and private benefits associated with that. So private being those specifically that the farmer would get from greater corn yields, as well as the ability to sell more corn stover for monetary benefit. And then the public benefits would be the improvements in soil quality and the reduction in nitrate leaching that would hopefully improve water quality. So benefits to all of us as society. But I won't be talking about the cost-benefit analysis just today, just the first two objectives. So looking specifically at objective one, we only used data from the two conventional systems, the corn crop, continuous corn and corn soybean systems. And specifically what we did is we used all the management and data we have from this site, and we ran 11-year simulation, analyzed 11 years of that, and we made some specific changes within the model to the crop cultivar specifically to be more accurate in terms of the maturity groups for Iowa specifically, and we evaluated model performance based on root mean square error, relative root mean square error, and modeling efficiency. So what we found with the model calibration side of things was you have the continuous corn on the left, corn soybean on the right, and these are just corn yields. You have uncalibrated on the top, calibrated on the bottom, measured on your x-axis, predicted on your y, or simulated on the y. And overall what we found is that model performance improved, which what we would expect after we calibrated it for this site. And specifically when we looked at corn yields within the continuous corn system, only continuous corn, we have plots with biochar on the left and then the respective controls on the right. The measured data are the black diamonds, and then with standard deviation bars in the blue are the simulated yields with shaded error or standard deviation error bands. And overall, what we found with this is that the model performed well for simulating yields in both the biochar plots and the control plots. And in several years, we saw an increase in the crop yields, corn yields, from the no biochar plots with biochar. However, we can't distinguish if this is a true biochar effect because biochar had to be tilled in these systems. And then when we look at soil organic carbon levels, the model also performed very well for the biochar plots and the no biochar plots, and we found that the soil organic carbon levels increased with biochar applications, which is what's expected. And the way the model predicts biochar impacts on soil organic carbon is this jump up in soil organic carbon levels, so that's normal. And then moving on to the model application side of this, so running the 32-year scenario, using this now calibrated model, we were looking at various management scenarios. So we were interested in the sustainability question about can we continuously harvest residue from these fields sustainably, or what are going to be the impacts on soil organic carbon levels. So the scenarios we looked at were three different nitrogen fertilization rates, three different residue removal rates, and four different biochar application rates. And we ran this for 37 years, only analyzing 32 years because of model initialization. And we were also interested in this idea of biochar quality because we know not all biochars are created equal. So we were looking at a high carbon and a low carbon biochar. And what I'll be showing the results for is corn yields, soil organic carbon levels, and nitrate leaching. So specifically looking at corn yields for continuous corn on the left, corn soybean on the right, low carbon biochar, so low carbon to nitrogen ratio, and then a high carbon, high C-to-N ratio biochar on the bottom. With biochar applications here as 22, 45, and 90 megagrams per hectare, and then the three different nitrogen fertilization rates. And what we're showing here is the average over 32 years, the percent change from what would have been the no biochar control. So what we found is basically when nitrogen is limiting in these systems, that we are seeing a very small, a negligible impact on corn yields at the low nitrogen fertilization rates, but at the high, we actually see that with increasing biochar application rate, we are getting improvements in corn yields. And the only difference between the two different biochar types is the magnitude of change, but the trends are exactly the same. And results regarding nitrate leaching, and I realized I forgot to mention that the colors indicate the different residue removal rates we had. So the green is the 90%, the highest residue removal rate. So what we found across all nitrogen fertilization rates and biochar application rates, and for both biochar types, that with increasing biochar application rate, we're getting a greater reduction in nitrate leaching, which is very promising. Although we do have some differences in trends based on residue removal rate for the two low nitrogen fertilization rates and the high nitrogen fertilization rates. And that has to do kind of with the biochar quality, the carbon nitrogen ratio, and its impacts on nitrogen immobilization with differences in residue removal. And lastly, the results for the soil organic carbon levels the axis is slightly different on these plots, and it's actually the percent change from what would have been the baseline soil organic carbon levels back in 1985 when the biochar was first applied. And as you would expect, as you increase biochar application rate, you increase soil organic carbon levels. And then the important thing we're finding from these scenarios is that when you're not applying biochar, so at the zero biochar application rate, that if you harvest residue, you will lose soil organic carbon over time. It's not sustainable. But if you supplement residue removal with biochar applications, we are still building soil organic carbon levels, which is very important for this long-term sustainability side of things. So wrapping up, just the big concluding points from this study, is that once we calibrated the model for this site, it performed well in predicting corn yields and soil organic carbon levels. The outputs of corn, nitrate leaching, soil organic carbon, they were all similar for both the continuous corn and corn soybean systems. Under different management types, we just saw that differences in the intensity of change based on biochar quality. And specifically talking about this increase in residue removal with decreased nitrate leaching at the low fertilization rates and the opposite at the high fertilization rates. This is, like I already mentioned, it has to do with the biochar quality with residue removal rate and its impacts on nitrogen immobilization. And importance from a sustainability perspective is that when we increased soil organic carbon levels were increased as biochar application rates increased, and this is true even as we increased residue removal from these fields. And then just one bullet on regarding the economic side of things, which I didn't touch upon, but I'm happy to answer questions if anyone has of that, is that we found biochar applications were economically viable when a farmer harvests at least 50% of the residue for sale. And this can be done sustainably based on its impacts on soil organic carbon levels. And the final point is that there's definitely some room for future research and future work with APSIM and the biochar module, and there's some limitations that I didn't discuss that may have impacted the results I presented. So with that, I'd just like to acknowledge a few people, my co-authors on this paper once we submit it for publication, and my major professor, David Laird, and the funding sources for this work. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.